is the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. Oh yeah. Welcome all you hive scummers who think they can rise to the top of the spire.
Welcome to the 10th episode of the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. As always, I'm Roy.
And I'm Richard.
And today we have for you, we're going to be talking about converting, you know, one of the great things about the hobby. And we're also going to be talking about the training post. But as always, first, have you been up to, Richard?
So our local shop just had their swap meet and purchasing some things as part of the hobby. So I ended up picking up some enforcers for a discount for about half off. And another deal of the lifetime was I got four books for $40.
If I'd have been up there when I said I was going to, I would have got those.
Oh, yeah. You would have totally beaten me. But yeah, so it was $4, Gangs of the Underhive, which, okay, whatever. That's just kind of extra gravy, whatever. But it was Book of Ruin, the Enforcer book, and Book of Peril, all for $40. And it's just, yes, please, like $130 yeah. Worth of books, even for $40 is still a good deal.
Yeah, a lot of people had their things priced to move.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good day. So, yeah, they had Vanshar Gang for half off. The Nomad Bug Riders, I think, for half off, or right around it. So, but Roy actually ended up giving me some old metal Augurans, which actually, like, height-wise, they're pretty close. Definitely, like, thicker, like just chunkier. So I'm gonna be using those, I think, for our upcoming campaign. And that'll be interesting to paint. So, but yeah, just painting stuff for clients. Started painting, getting base coats on my crane system, and that's about it. So nothing too crazy. I think it's about to get much more crazier. So what about you, Roy? What have you been up to?
Well, I also went to the swap meet, obviously. I got picked up some stuff, some Gene Circle guys for super cheap. I love it when people break up the models from the, what's the name of those games? Like the Blackstone Fortress set, the Cursed City set.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so somebody broke the Cursed City set up, and I got up some of their bats. And I'm like, oh, I need Karen bats. Those are Karen bats now.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Picked up some Pock Walkers. I'm like, there you go. Now I got a Nurgle Chaos Helicult Gang.
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice.
Yeah. And I picked up one more thing. But before I talk about that, there is a post on Instagram of this ghoul thing, Mechanicus with bat wings. And I'm like, oh, I love that. I want to make that.
Okay. Yeah.
And I talked to the, I can't remember who it is right now. I'll post a link in the show notes to the actual model itself. The guy's like, oh, those are just gargoyle wings. I'm like, oh, I get gargoyle wings easy.
Yeah.
I go up to our local store. Nobody up there has a gargoyle. They don't sell gargoyles. GW's out of gargoyles right now. They're not making them.
Yeah.
But other store, no gargoyles. Come over to your house. Some other guys were playing some games. Like, hey, do you have gargoyles? He's like, oh, yeah, I got one. He gave me a painted freaking gargoyle to cut up.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't use them.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. I go home, immediately cut it up. A few days later, what does Richard do? Hey, did you cut that gargoyle up? Oh, well, yes, obviously I did.
Yeah,
well,
I did that because I found literally new on sprue some gargoyles when I cleaned out my my closet. So.
Oh, well, I'll take one of those too.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm like, oh, so I can make one with these giant bat-esque wings. I ought to make one with angel wings as well.
Yeah.
So I'll go around looking for angel wings. You know how hard it is to find freaking angel wings?
Oh, for...
Pretty dang hard.
Yeah.
So GW doesn't make, like, any angel wings. They make very few. Everybody's like, oh, they make that that character from Age of Sigmar.
Age of Sigmar, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, those wings are huge.
Oh, they're gigantic. They're
like,
yeah.
Straight up. They're not... They don't like...
It's not dynamic or anything. It's not... Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. So I kind of gave up on that idea. Mm-hmm. And then we had the swap meet. And there was a woman there putting down a Dark Elder army. And she wanted it gone. Mm. By the time she put everything down, within an hour, all the units are gone.
Wow.
People were picking it up as she was putting it down.
Okay.
And she had Dark Eldar Scourges.
Okay. I'm not familiar with their model line, so.
Well, it's a Dark Elder warrior with wings, and they have bat wings, and they have angel wings, and they're perfect.
Nice. And the guy that you're referring to, that you got this inspiration from, is Goon Machine on Instagram. It's Goon_Machine. So
thank you.
Go check them out. They have really great models.
Yeah. So I picked those up. I've been doing some painting.
What? Okay.
Yeah. Because I still have not finished my Escher gang, and I keep on adding more models to it. I'm like, I just need to get maybe not all my Escher models done, but the ones I've been using, like in the campaign, they just need to get finished.
Yeah.
Because I just had to like put another coat of paint for their different bright ass hair, you know, do a little couple things like the blue for the plasma and a hair clasp, and then streak and grime it.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing. I haven't got a streak and grime yet, but I've been putting some bright ass neon colors like fluorescent pink and fluorescent green down.
Nice.
Oh, and I've been building little bitty titans for my buddy.
Oh yeah getting ready for the tiny hammers coming.
Yeah, he wants me to convert some of them so they're more chaosified.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Okay, that's all I've been up to. Is that all you've been up to
besides playing some games with you? Yeah, catching in some Ashways games, but yeah. So okay, that's about it.
Well, before we get to our first topic, I have a correction I need to make for episode 9.5, Survival Instinct. So in there, I was talking about downtown, how downtown isn't around anymore. Mm-hmm. Like they just left it out of the lore. Well, they didn't leave it out of the lore because I was listening to the Underhive Lorekeepers.
Yeah.
And they were doing the episode on Dlok. And a little note and like a little passage in there that I have didn't remember, glanced over, whatever, and mentioned that basically they destroyed downtown. Like it was just gone.
Oh, so it was wiped off the map.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's the only reference of downtown in N17 that I know of. The Dlok was the last House of book released in 2021. So I'm thinking that's like, oh yeah, we haven't mentioned this thing. We need to kill it off. So
okay,
they killed it off. Yeah. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
About them just not thinking about it, but yeah, they just destroyed it and that was it.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So, cool. Yep. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break and then come back with our first topic of the day, which is conversions.
This is Necro Macho down at your local family friendly Frank's Fun Frags, where they've got weapons for the whole family. Need that shiny heavy bolter? Oh yeah! Or looking to get close and personal with some good old brass knuckles? Come on down, yeah, and tell Frank Necro Macho sent you and save some creds,
And we're back, and we're going to talk about probably my favorite thing about the hobby besides playing, which is conversions.
Yeah, better known as kit bashing.
Kit bashing. Or spending lots of money on one little bit.
One little guy. Yeah, you could have.
I need this bit. Let me buy this kit to get this bit. I'll use the rest of
one
later.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So in your notes you have over there, Richard, what is the first thing you have over there?
So one of the great things with kit bashing is it's a great way to make your guys unique and stand out and make the model that you want it to be. So you're able to like, this guy to have like a sword plus a las pistol. Well, you can probably find bits out there that you can put together and make your guy do that thing. So, because like I'm thinking like, oh, actually, you could probably just buy that Astra Militarum female commissar where she's got the saber and she has a las pistol or some type of gun that she's like pointing out.
That used to be a limited edition model.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, it used to be.
Okay. So, but yeah, it's a good addition to the hobby. One of the problems with it, I would say, is it can be, besides expensive, you become a trash man.
I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage.
And
I'm a trash man.
Yeah, I'm a trash man. And you just start hoarding pits. And it's just like, I'm going to keep this for a project that may or may not come to me at some point down the road. And I am not a kit basher, but I kept all my bits because I didn't know like what I would need and kind of where my hobbying would take me. And I actually cleared out my closet and had a full plastic bin of just sprues. Just leftover bits on sprues. And I had to look at it hard and it's just like, okay, I'm not using this. I won't use this. There's like some things I did save, like some like heavy weapons by the Astromilitarum, but I'm really not going to use all these like Tyranid bits and like old Space Marine bits and everything. It's just, I don't see a use for it. So,
see, I feel you there. So I still have stuff from third edition. And I'm like, I don't know if I should let this go, but now I don't play Space Marines anymore.
Yeah.
And I like have this extensive bits box of Space Marine stuff. I just need to let it go.
Yeah.
I need to pass it on because I'm not gonna do it with the, you know, probably, you know, 37 old Space Marine arms that are, you know, monopose, you know, the backpack. I'm just not gonna do anything with this. I don't need 57 Space Marine helmets, you know, Mark 7 helmets.
yeah.
But then again, I'll get rid of something, and then like 2 months later, I'm like, damn it, I need that thing now. I could use it on this.
Yeah. I mean, the cool thing is like with the kit bashing, it's like you're able to make the model you want it to be. You're adding like flavor and narrative to your gang, and you can actually like by making your own guys like this, it can definitely help you save money because it makes you be a bit more thrifty. It's like, oh, well, I have whatever, like a last pistol or a plasma gun or something from this other kit. I don't need to go and buy the heavy weapons sprues because, well, you can just take that and just plug and play, just pop it on your guy and it's done. This can save you. Like, if you're needing just that one gun, just get bash it. There's no sense in spending, what, $30 for the heavy weapon sprue, especially when you're just doing, like, one guy. Unless you want, like, other things on it and everything.
Yeah. Like I have my Cawdor gang. Mm-hmm. Like, those Cawdor bits are so good for conversions for almost, well, not every other gang, but as long as it's not one of the main house gangs, like, if you have a hanger-on, you can use it for that. If you have, you want some hive scum, you know, for a chaos helot gang, for outcasts, those bits are so good because they're what you think of in the underhive, you know, some ratty, you know, weapons that are being held together by duct tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Cawdor stuff is. And it's great. So, you know, I'll go through, I'm like, oh, I need this thing. I'm like, oh, I may have a Cawdor hand I'm not using. I can go use that arm, stick on this guy, and it'll be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really great as far as like making your game like truly WYSIWYG. And if that's something that's important to you, I can't recommend doing this enough. You're probably already doing it at this point. So you already kind of know the benefits and the pitfalls that come with this.
Yeah.
Because it can quickly become expensive. Like, I know of somebody in our area that they have Blood Angels and their whole thing is like, they wanted to give them this really cool sword. And so they bought the Reboot Gilliman box just for his sword. And then just, he was like, I don't want the rest of this model. And just threw it at somebody.
Actually, I have pieces of that model. I have pieces.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. I was wondering where that came from.
Yeah. It's just like, wow, that's like a $60 kit. Like, and you just wanted the sword out of it? That's it? Man. Okay.
Okay. Well, now he can take that sword and he can recast that sword. You can use green stuff recasting. If you don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can just look it up and find it on YouTube. Plenty of people have tutorials out there. You can do, you know, straight up real casting with resin where you know, pour a silicone mold. Mm-hmm. And if there's like that one bit, if you want every sergeant in a 40K army to have that sword.
Well, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, then investing in a resin mold
is probably worth
financially
it.
Viable for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I would resin cast anything for Necromundex. I don't think I would want that many pieces repetitively.
Yeah, it's... I mean, and also it's like your gangs are, you're not going to have, I mean, if all of your guys have like plasma guns or something, then I'm just not going to play you. Like, yeah, screw that. So, yeah, it's not like an army builder where it's, okay, cool. All my sergeants have the giant sword. All my heavy weapons have like this particular like one-off gun that like you only get one of in the box or something. So,
yeah, for Necromunda, green stuff molds are great if you want like a couple of the same piece.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's pretty easy if you have a community, you know, a Necromunda community near you that you're part of, like, hey, anybody have this bit? Can I get that bit?
And most likely people have spares to throw around.
So in the actual converting, I mean, it's been Sprugu. Sprugu, if you haven't made Sprugu yet, you need to. It was on the uptick of YouTubers who were posting all about Sprugu this past year. I never made Sprugu until a couple months ago, and I love that stuff. It is the best stuff ever.
And what is it exactly?
So it's plastic glue with polystyrene, which is the...
Oh, yeah.
The plastic.
Yeah.
So you just cut up sprues and you put them in the plastic glue and it melts it down. And now you have...
Sprue glue. Okay.
Yeah, sprues, but it's brush-on plastic is what it is.
Yeah, so I assume you just use it as like a gap filler?
I've used it as gap filler. I've used it as texture.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Use it to make like sloughing off flesh, gross stuff, because you can... It dries pretty dang fast. Like...
Oh, okay.
Some people have made it so it's... thinner. I haven't made them to get my consistency down. So you have it in like a glass bottle.
Yeah.
So it has that brush in there so you can brush it on. And mine, it's super thick and dry. I mean, like I barely have time to put it on the model for it's drying on the brush.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. But like some people, they like the paint on green stuff that GW sells.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that stuff shrinks.
It shrinks. Yeah.
It's a pain in the butt. It's not a good gap filler. This Sprugu, I mean, you're melting plastic to it when you do this. It is the best stuff. You know, you got this big gap you need to fill. Just throw some of that in there. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Kind of ways of kind of filling out that space is when I built my spice harvester, there was a section where I wanted like the top piece to be like raised up off of the structure that it was on top of. And originally I had the chassis of three Lehman Russes as just like space fillers. And then it's
wow.
Yeah. Well, I already used the tracks. So it's just like I have like the shell of it. I'm not going to use these things. But then I realized, well, actually, I've got some like really hard pressed like sign foam. So I took that, cut it down, made that as my filler, and used that as my filler to help raise it up and also kind of give it some sturdiness because I threw a rod down in the center of it. So my spice harvester is not only attached with the tracks, but there's also a rod running down the center of it to keep everything connected to each other. When you're kit bashing for like larger stuff, don't be afraid to fill in the holes with cheap alternatives. Like you don't need to use GW plastic for literally everything. And I would say that comes down to like for large vehicles, don't be afraid to do that. Also, kit bashing with polystyrene is heavily advised. Go and get yourself some diamond plate.
Plastic card sheets
and use that for your decking. I think you used it on your Ridge Runner for the little transport bed that you have.
Yeah, my boom snack a dack whacken or whatever the thing is.
Oh,
my
that's right. Yeah.
It's my medium vehicle. Yeah, that's what I use for the transport bed.
Okay. Yeah. It's fun. It's I'm not super adept at it. Not like Rolly is, where he's just seeing like it's like the scene in the Lego movie where Emmett finally becomes a master builder and he can see all the parts of how they interconnect and he just starts assembling everything. It's just like I look at like his Goliath gang. It's just like, man, that stuff looks dope. And it's just,
well, thank you.
I love the imagination. I love the creativity and the narrative that you're bringing to your gang by using all of these different models to make that one model.
When you're in the hobby for a long time, like I know, like I've seen all GW's models through back in the day, so I know what they have. I know, you know, I'm like, oh, if I think of something, I'm like, oh, actually GW does make that model. It was on this thing back in, you know, 2015.
Yeah.
So I have a catalog in my head where I go back and I'm like, oh, that thing would look cool on this.
Yeah. 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 And, definitely like advantage having the familiarity with their line. And, but I mean, I think it comes down to having an idea and having some concept of how it might look and maybe talking with friends or people up at the shop of, hey, I'm wanting to make this thing. Do you guys know of any bits that I can achieve with this?
Oh yeah.
So,
and just because you have an idea of what you want doesn't mean it's going to turn out that way.
Like, no. You got to just trust the process.
Yeah, you got to trust the process. Because my Goliath leader, I thought he was going to look one way, and he turned out not totally different, but he turned out significantly different than what I first imagined in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And just because your model doesn't turn out the way you want it doesn't mean it's going to be a bad model. Like my Goliath leader, I love my Goliath leader. I think it looks badass.
Yeah.
But if it's not what you want, you know, you don't got to try to trash the whole model and start over. Maybe you can use that model for something else.
Yeah.
Maybe you've seen a model out somewhere, some other game system, you're like, oh, that's a cool model, I think I can use that Necromunda. And you get it home and you're building and messing with it, you're like, you know, the proportions are just off on this thing, the detail isn't just quite crisp as what I would like.
Mm-hmm.
You can still use that model, because I had this idea the other day and I wanted to use it on my Dalat gang for my Nat Ghoul, but it wouldn't fit my paint scheme how I want.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
you can take a failed conversion you have,
mm-hmm.
or one that didn't fit right, just paint it black. If you can paint it Vanta black, you know, the blackest black, the one that absorbs the light.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you can paint it Vanta black, work even better. And now, since it's just a black shape blob thing, it's now a shadow creature.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just make just a shadow creature for the fight against some gang. You know, throw it in there, like, oh, shadow creatures, minus one to hit all the time, or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it, and you're still getting some use out of that model. It wasn't a complete waste of time, and you're doing something with it. So
yeah,
and one thing, like in art, is like, if something's not working for you, don't feel like you have to solve it right then and there. Don't be afraid to take that, shelve it, and come back next day, next week, the months down the road. Because while you continue to work on other projects, you might gain more inspiration of like, oh, I worked it out in my head because I've been thinking about it. I need to put this bit on there instead of that bit. Or GW comes out with something new and you think like that bit is specifically like, oh, that will work so much better than what I was trying to achieve.
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time. I'll have a gang I'm working on and I have almost the whole gang built. Mm-hmm. Instead of like one or two guys, I'm like, what I want to do, I just can't do it with what I have or what I think I can get.
Yeah.
I don't know anything that'll fill that gap. And I've let gangs sit there for 2 years. That model, that stupid model, like over 2 years.
Yeah.
Before I found something like, oh, that's great. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And you may go through a bunch of iterations of a model. Like, okay, mm-hmm. This is cool. This is the model I like. And then you build it and you're not. You're like, oh, yeah, it's cool. And then a little while goes by, you know, you're like, I could build this thing better.
Yeah.
And you build another one. You're like, I like this one better. I did that with my Death Maiden. I built one and I'm like, I don't like the model. I'm going to build another one. I'm like, oh, I like this one way better.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to grow with your skills. And like, as you keep working on other projects, you can come back and, okay, like your Eshers are like your gang. Like that is what got you into this game and you love them to death. And all the skills that you acquired doing all these other different gangs, kit bashing, then getting the Goliaths, getting the Deluxe, you can then incorporate into finishing out your Eshers the way that you want it to be.
Yeah, like I'll probably come back here, I don't know, probably eventually and redo a whole nother Esher gang.
Oh, a whole new one? Okay.
Yeah, a whole new one. Just, you know, because just the bits that are available now from all these other gangs. And I already have this gang built. I don't want to start ripping things off. It's almost completely painted. So yeah, and we'll see. And my painting skills aren't the greatest. I'm gonna get tabletop standard, but mm-hmm. I might come back when my painting skills are a bit better, build a different one, you know, okay. A different style of Escher gangs. My gang is mostly shooty.
Okay.
You know, how about some plasma in your face?
Yeah. God. Plasma. Ugh.
To recap, you know, convert to your heart's content. You make the model your own. You, we've said before, you don't have to make the model your own. You know, if it's a cool sculpt, it's a cool sculpt.
Yeah.
Like the Goliath Stimmer. That's a badass model. I kept it just the way it is because it's a cool model.
You know, the hulking brute. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want everybody in your gang to be special, that is completely fine.
Yeah, totally.
I find that that can get tedious to do. Trying to make every guy different. Some people are able to stand that and do it. I got to find what can I make different with this one? You know, I could pose the arms this way. I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
Champs and stuff, I'll do those.
Champs and leaders, Yeah,
my Goliath gang. I think I have 13 people in that gang.
I think 14.
That I built. 14.
Yeah.
And I converted most of them, and I got tired of that after a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the more time you spend the converting, the less time you have for painting and playing. So
well, I just want to get it done.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
After a while, you're like, okay, I just want to be done building them. I want to be able to play with them.
Yeah.
You know? So whatever, you know, however you balance that, you know, how long you're going to take to build them versus getting them on the tabletop. You know,
yeah.
If you want to play with them tomorrow, they're probably not going to be pretty standard, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now there's plenty of people on Instagram
to pull from,
to inspire you.
Yep.
That people do tutorials, you know, find somebody you like and, you know, you can copy their stuff. I mean, I copy people's stuff all the time. Like I'll message them, hey, what bits did you use for that? Where'd you use those wings? What, you know,
yeah,
what's that base model out of?
And yeah.
Most of the time people will answer you and tell you. And then, you know, if I post it, I'm like, hey, I got this idea from, what's that guy's name?
Oh, Goon_Machine.
From Goon Machine. Like, hey, I took this idea from Goon Machine. You know, give credit where credit's due.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody takes my ideas of it. That's awesome. I'm glad I can inspire somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what's great about this community as far as it kind of feeds itself that, okay, you're building these things. You get asked the person, okay, how'd you build this ganger? They tell you, and then you either build it yourself to inspire, to show more people, or you take that and then add on to it, add your own thing, add your own flair, because you want like all your Goliaths to have like dead the lock heads as like a belt going around their waist or something. And like you turn them into like kind of like a predator thing of like they're just hunting these locks because they're like the most challenging game. So that could be something that you could add on to it and kind of just push that narrative even further and make your gang unique in the Underhive, giving it some like lore, giving it a story, and just expanding it out.
Oh yeah, like I think it was, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Oh, it's Rogue Falcon 5.
Okay,
he's the one that I got the inspiration from for the orc buggy to make another Goliath buggy.
Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah. And I'm like that. I saw that model. I fell in love with it. And I'm like, well, it looks great as is, but I'm like, well, for gameplay, I need a transport bed on it. So, you know, so I changed it up a little bit. I changed how the driver was, but you know, he's the one that like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That embodies what I want in my gang in that vehicle right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got anything else on this topic, Richard?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, once again, we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk about what's our next topic, Richard?
We are going to be discussing the trading post.
The training post, yes, the training post. That's the kind of important thing in the game.
Okay. A little bit.
All right, well, you'll hear from us in just a minute.
Got any creepy crawlies, flappers, thumpers, sliders, sloppers, skitters, scurriers, or scuttlers? Then call Sneaky Snake Sam. Yeah, enough said.
This is Axel Jones again. I went down to the training post the other day, and I just had thongs of people swarming me, telling me how right I am all the time, and everything I talk about always comes true. I can't help it that I'm always right, because what I'm telling you is the Emperor's sworn truth. People just need to wake up and smell the recap, because when I brew in here, day in, day out is bringing people to their senses. Now, I've been sitting here on something, and I wasn't wanting to share it with anyone, not even my wife. It's so barbaric and hateful. Ooh, it just makes me want to kick a Juve. I predict before too long, we will have the UHFC comeback. Don't forget that this barbarism was banned under Lord Helmar. Those idiots think we can't discuss their precious little fight club. Wah, 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 wah. Bringing this back will drive more crime, drugs, and a loud music. Speakers everywhere blasting hype music. Oh, my emperor. The hype music will be the death of me. Remember to visit the merch shop. Continue the war on my oppressors. Axel out.
The views, rantings, and conspiracy theories expressed by Axel Jones do not reflect Necromacho Entertainment, or any of its subsidiaries.
And we're back. We're going to talk about some training posts.
Yeah.
The good old training posts. You know, the thing that people love to visit. One of my favorite things to do in the game is after a game, visit the training post. See what all kinds of cool stuff I can equip my ganger with. Screw you over, Richard.
The whole thing is everybody loves to go shopping.
Yes. Everybody does love to go to shopping. Shopping's so much fun.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
All right. The training post. If you played any kind of linked games in Necromunda, you should have used the training post.
Mm-hmm.
It's where your gangers can get all the kinds of cool stuff that's not in their house list. So with the new rulebook, they changed up the training post just a little bit. They tweaked some rarity levels and combined the illegal and legal.
The black market and trading post together. Yeah.
So I love converting my guys and putting stuff on them. These cool weapons, you know, thinking all the ways I can combo stuff. Like, oh, if I put this thing on my death maiden, she can jump over this wall and not die when she fails her 2+ initiative, say, jumping off this building.
Yeah.
I like messing with the training post in a campaign, as in how players interact with it. Some people don't like that. Some people want to be able to have access to everything so they can hit out the guys exactly how they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, and so how it worked for our last campaign is each week, each cycle, you would go into our Discord and post like 10-ish things that were available in the trading post with their rarity and cost and everything associated with it.
Yeah.
And I really liked the idea of like, okay, shop vendors have new things coming in every week. And the only thing I wish that there was just a bit more variety. So instead of like 10 things, maybe give out like 30 things. So because because I know it was automatically generated or randomly generated. So if there was like a plasma gun on there and everybody had the credits and rolled good enough, everybody was buying a plasma gun that week.
That is true. So that idea that came from Goonhammer in their Lost Zone campaign rules.
Okay.
Yes. And so they have a random generator. You can put all kind of variables in there. And so you could, if I wanted to do 30, I could do 30.
Oh, okay. So it's easy to expand it. That's good.
Yes, very easy to expand that. I like that. And then I didn't, because you just couldn't go hog wild and buy everything.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it makes sense that like when you go to the trading post, you're not going to Walmart. They literally don't have everything there. So limiting it. And also like, as far as like one of the things that actually would be kind of fun to do in a campaign is, okay, you're playing your games for the week, here's kind of what's come in stock, and middle of the week somebody drops a flash sale of a certain item because it fell off the back of the truck, they need to get it offloaded and they need it gone, so like the first person to snag it gets it.
Yes, that's a good idea. Or the Lost Zone, it was supposed to be each item that was available that week had only a certain number available. And
okay, and
they have it so like the guy with the highest rep gets to go first, then on down the line.
Yeah,
we could have done that, but that would just taken that made it more complicated for us, and people were not wanting that.
Yeah,
so just, hey, this is what's available, go for it.
Yeah.
And then also had for people that were doing extra things, they also got a reserve list of like 5 things. Like the vendor would take them to the back, like, hey, you're the guy.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Yeah, I got this extra stuff. You want to take a look at it?
Yeah, my friend, come and check my wares. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of great things that you can do with this. You can even have like the trading post shootout or whatever it is. What's the mission called?
Market Mayhem.
Market Mayhem, yeah. And
well, that one you can get all kinds of good stuff in there for free because you just pick what you want.
Yeah, you're just looting at that point and just grabbing what you want. Yeah, yeah. So a little bit on if you're not familiar with Trading Post and how it works in a campaign, the new rulebook, you can find the rules on it on 146. And in there, it tells you, okay, here's how you go to the trading post. So it's you roll 2d6 for your leader. You get plus two to that roll. And for each champ that's accompanying your leader, they get a plus one. So you roll a 10, your leader and a champ goes. You can then buy things that are rarity 13 or less. And that's actually, I think, pretty well of a roll in the trading post. Does the new training post have the ghost babies in it?
Yes, so that's the Caryatids.
Yeah.
So that's a separate thing, and they're not actually part of the training post. Caryatids have their own thing on page 304-305.
Oh, okay.
Because they're under
Zog Beast or something.
Well, it has status items, servo skulls, and then that. So with the beast under status items.
Okay.
Like the pets that are in the book, like they are not in the trading post roster.
Yeah, exactly. So in your book, the trading post, they actually have a list of things available starting on page 262 in the new rule book, and gives you everything that's legal, illegal, the rarities associated with the credit cost. And if you keep going further, you get to like the armors and whatnot, and depending on how high you roll on your rarity roll, you can get to getting a Caryatid, which
so the Caryatid, they have an invulnerable save and they give you an invulnerable save.
So the Caryatids, they are like winged spooky ghost baby things, and they're pretty cool, pretty rare. I don't think anybody has in our area in the last few campaigns gotten a Caryatid.
So. I got one and Nick got one.
Did you?
Yes.
Really? Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't remember that. Yeah. I don't remember that. Okay.
So like those things are powerful, but you know, because it has a 3+, I think it's a 3+ immortal save.
Yeah.
And then once your first hit against you, you can roll to see if you just ignore it.
Oh, just flat out ignore it. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like psychically tell you it's coming. You got to make a willpower test. Pass. You ignore that hit.
Yeah. That model is, you can actually get the GW model with Athera, Blade of the Matriarch. She's a Escher house agent. So if you're really feeling froggy wanting that model.
Yeah. That's, as far as I know, that's the only time GW's ever made that model.
Okay.
And it's just like with the other, some of the other special beasts, like the, Milosaur and the Facehugger. What's the Facehugger called?
The Ripperjack thing?
Yeah, the Ripperjack.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get them from Forge World with a character with them.
Yeah, and those are $72 US.
Yeah.
So, getting those specific models is a little pricey. Going back to kit bashing, if you want to make your own, that's a great cost alternative to affording other miniatures and books and stuff. So especially if it's just like a one-off thing, and with a Caryatid, it can die and go away. So you might just show up with it for a game, and then it's just gone. So
womp womp womp.
Yeah, but it's a little upsetting.
Yeah, it happens in Necromunda. Well, I mean, if your leader dies, then it goes away.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. True.
Yeah. Another thing I want to try out with the training post for our next campaign, maybe not the Ash Waste one, but our next full one, is so you have a house list. And there are rare items on every house list that doesn't matter that it's rare because it's your house list. Well, items are rare for a reason. It says they're rare because they're supposed to be rare. And instead of, you know, my Death Maiden, my Matriarch, and my Queens all having Carapace armor, that kind of gets old in the ending campaign where everybody's buffed out with everything.
Yeah.
You know,
gold plated trim and all that. Yeah.
Some gangs' loadouts start to look the same because they just have all the badass stuff you can get.
Yeah.
So I want to try to remedy that where you can only have one of each rare item in your, on your gang unless you have it available in your house list.
So you're saying like one rare like armor piece, one rare gun?
No. So like you can only have, so if light carapace armor isn't in your list,
mm-hmm.
you can only have one of it in your gang unless there's somebody
Have to
get more. Yeah. So you can have one of those.
Yeah.
You can only have one last cannon. You can only have one. Let's see what's something else. What's something stupid people always had to bring that's bring a lot of them. You know what? How about I just open up this book right here, just right in front of me, and go to the training post, and I'll just look. Let me look at. Oh, if somebody wants to be a jerk and like have the that cursed heavy flamer, you know?
Okay.
No, you're not bringing two of those. That's already being a douchebag, and now you're bringing a cursed heavy flamer. No, not playing that.
Yeah.
Just one of every item. It's rare. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a terrible concession to make, especially like when it comes to like carapace armor. There's not like, it's not like they're equipped with like that on their body, so it's not like a gun or something that, oh well, I already have my guy decked out with like the cursed heavy flamer. So for stuff like that, that's easy to just rules put in place.
Well, it also adds, to me, I think it'll add variety. Because now you got to spend your creds on other thing. I know I can't spend, 80 creds on this like carapace armor. I need to spend on something else. I can buy some other types of armor for this other champion.
Yep. And it'll force you also to play your gang differently than just, I'm a walking fortress. I don't have to worry about being shot and being killed because I've got like carapace armor, undersuit, bop, 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 bop. I'm good.
Yeah, at the end of the campaign, probably every champion and leader will have like carapace armor, armor and undersuit.
Yeah. It's just too good not to take all of that. And especially with the armored undersuit being 15 creds, why not? So,
yeah. So it'll say people might start taking more of the field armor, more conversion fields, displacement fields.
Black armor and, Yeah.
So, give a different flavor, interact more with the items that don't always get used. I mean, some of the points could be adjusted for the items, but there's so much flavor in there to be used, and we just don't because we usually go for the optimal thing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, generally most people want to win when playing any type of game. So you don't always want to lose. It's no fun. Why are you playing then? But yeah, I think adding variety, adding different ways to play the game would be beneficial for players, and it helps you flesh out that trading post and see more of that you normally wouldn't see. And I really like this weapon, but I bought like some crummy weapon for my Juve and it just turned out terrible, so it's on my Juve, I don't care, whatever. So in the future, you to stay away from that weapon and try something else.
Yeah. I believe it was Gilders Ford. They just did a back to the basics campaign, and their training post selection was pretty limited.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was that one where they could only buy like pistols and like they only buy like common weapons.
Oh wow! Okay, that's a little rough.
It may have been the Eye of Horus that did that one where they could only buy common weapons.
Okay,
but I think that can be pretty brutal.
Oh, for sure.
You can't rely on now your plasma gun to start taking people out. You're like, well, you got your auto guns and last guns.
Yeah.
Let's get to it.
You might have to actually like target your fire. So like maybe have two, maybe three people like shoot at that auger in, because good luck with a last pistol getting through that. Their toughness being a T5.
What do you mean just three? Shooting an auger in? If I'm not shooting some stupid special weapon or heavy weapon at that thing, I got to shoot everything at that thing.
Yeah.
So limiting your training post can open up more opportunities for your players to try new things.
Yeah.
And I think that's always a great thing.
Limiting in that way, I agree. Limiting it in as far as like there's 5 or 10 things on the menu, that's maybe a bit too much of a constraint.
Yeah.
Because then it's just, player's going to figure out, oh, well, out of this list, this is the most optimal choice. Whereas if you have like a spread of 30, 40 items, it's okay, you can use all these different things in different combinations. How do you want to go about this?
Yeah, I wouldn't restrict the training post every campaign because
I understand, like, for our campaign, if people aren't familiar, we were leaving the Underhive to go to a recently rediscovered dome or another hive and trying to set up an establishment, establishing our gangs there. And so the idea is you don't have readily access to the trading posts as you normally do. So this is what came on the caravan out to this outpost, and what they have on it is what they have on it.
Yes, exactly. But even like my restricting, so you can only have one of each rare item.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to have restrictions to help the game out, but also I want to be able to, the players to just feel free to do what they want. So maybe one campaign with restrictions, the next campaign doesn't have restrictions.
Yeah.
You know, unless the player specifically asks, like, hey, we like that, you know, that made the game, you know, more challenging because we had to think outside the box instead of just doing the same old, you know, whatever the players want.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Your solution may not look like somebody else's solution, and that's okay. Yes. Because you have totally different metas, you have totally different players and their play style. So make it for your players, not because the book tells you how to do it.
Oh yes. Yeah. If you don't keep your players happy, you're not gonna have any players eventually.
Yeah, exactly. But you also don't want to just let them run roughshod over you. And
that's a whole topic in and of itself.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, GW even has a restriction on the training post in some of their campaign variants in this new rule book. Like the classic campaign, harken back to N95, you have to roll for your, I mean, like, okay, I get rare equipment, I need to roll for it to see, you know, 1 to 2, I get a weapon, 3 to 4, I get more gear, 5 to 6, I get armor. So it's super random.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, we may try to throw that into exotic, because I really like that, because it's like I'm digging through this pile of stuff and I don't know what I'm going to find.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're like, just rooting around in the garbage and, hey, you found some armor.
Not even in the garbage, but like, you know, this vendor has some weapons, or this, he's like, hey, this is my stuff. And you just go digging through his stuff to see what he has.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not, oh, I know this is.
It's almost like going to a flea market where it's, you start rooting around the bins. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. If you think of the training post as a flea market, that's exactly what it is. They're people bringing their junk to sell.
Yeah.
Or maybe not junk, but there's stuff to sell. Some of it's junk.
So yeah, some of it is junk. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find some good deals. You find a whole lot of bad deals. But it's not like you know, you're not going on Amazon and finding exactly what you want and ordering it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, this the classic campaign. I might use this for the Ash Waste.
Okay.
For giggles. Yeah. For our next campaign.
Okay.
That'll make it different.
Oh, yeah. That'll definitely make it different.
I might make some people mad. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take a
poll.
Yeah, take a poll at the first day of the campaign.
Okay.
We all get together.
Yeah, and one of the other things when we were doing our last campaign was if you weren't able to do your post-battle sequence of like going to the trading post in front of your opponent because of time constraints or you had some other obligation you had to get to, well, what we did was, okay, if you're going to do a dice roll, use our Discord, go on to a specific channel, and it would roll dice for you. And that was super handy of doing everything remote and kind of showing, hey, like when I rolled to go to the trading post, I rolled a 12. So when you show up the next week with something that is 12 or less, nobody's questioning whether or not that was that it wasn't.
Yeah. So I would have them, I'd have them roll. It was on the level. It was on the up and up.
Yeah. So it's when you show up the next week, it's on the level.
Yeah. So I'd have players type in what they were rolling for. And then we had a dice rolling bot and they would just tell the bot what to roll, and that's what they got.
Yeah.
And I had it locked, so you can't delete your messages on there, so it's stuck there. You know what they got. They
get,
There's no way of getting around that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, it's you're able to have accountability with everybody, with all your players.
Yeah. To keep everybody honest and on the up and up, we had a channel on our Discord where you just posted your game results. So you post your game results and your opponent does the same thing together. And there were some of the game results you posted was the same thing they posted, just to make sure you got it right. And everything's on there. How many people got taken out of action? How many people got, 66? How much credits did you earn? Did you gain any territories? What'd you roll on for your training post rarity roll? You want to trust everybody, but it just is easier. Little checks and balances, trust but verify.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You got anything else for the training post, Richard?
That's it.
Okay. Well, once again, we thank you for listening to our podcast today. As always, you can reach us on Instagram at Necromacha Entertainment.
And you can find me at Les Gray Minis.
And you can always reach us via email at necromachoentertainment@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Necro Macho Entertainment Podcast. Ooh, yeah. Where the high scum rise through the top.